Our scripture reading for today is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading with you at verse 31. That's Romans 8, verse 31 and following. If you have your Bible, you can read along. I think it's also on the screen, and or you can just listen. This is what it says. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, I've heard it said that on battlefields, that there are no atheists in foxholes, that as the missiles and the bullets are flying and people are hunkered down trying to avoid the danger, that prayers rise up, that being in a dangerous spot seems to inspire belief. We wonder if that's always true. There was a time in China, this happened between 1899 and 1901, when there was this thing that happened called the Boxer Rebellion. The Boxer Rebellion was about Chinese nationalists and cultural imperialists who didn't want there to be any Western influence in China. And so they caused a rebellion which forced all the foreigners, particularly the missionaries, to leave China. And these missionaries left behind a church of relatively new Christians, people without a great history in the faith. The Boxers said that the missionaries were the primary devils, and the Chinese Christians were the secondary devils. And as these missionaries left, they wondered, what is going to happen to this fragile little church that we are leaving behind in the face of this adversity? After many, many years, China opened up a little and people were able to come back. And church leaders returned and thought, are we going to find anything? Are there going to be any Christians in this land? And to their amazement, they discovered that when they left, there were thousands of Christians. When they returned, there were millions of Christians. That the Chinese people, in tune with the Spirit, had been able to grow their church, to build their community, to testify and to help others see that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. adversity seems to be a productive field for the church to grow. We know that in times of trouble in our own society, that when there have been great tragedies, that people have flocked to the churches, that when there was something really terrible, the next Sunday the churches would be crammed with people because people were coming, trying to find some hope, trying to understand, to make sense of it all. They said, we'll go to the church and we'll try to do that. One of the things that really bother me about this COVID-19 thing that we're in is that we are prevented from responding to the situation in the best way, which is to gather, to find community, to seek together the answers for why this stuff happens. Here I am in a pretty much empty building, speaking to empty chairs. I thank God that you are hearing this message from the comfort of your own home, but it would be even better if we could be together. Now, Paul, who wrote the letter to the Romans that we read, that tremendously beautiful, powerful, ultra-meaningful part of Scripture, was a man who also knew his own trouble. I'd like to read a little passage from another one of his letters, from 2 Corinthians, the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 11, just beginning at verse 23. This was his experience. I have worked much harder than any. I have been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. This Paul, who wrote the beautiful passage that we read, was a man who was familiar with suffering, who knew what hard times were. Now, these things were all things that came at him, things that were exterior to him and done to him. But we also know that he was a person who had troubles that were interior. In chapter 12, the next chapter from what I just read from, we read in verse 7. Let's see. So in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to tempt me. People have wondered, like, what is he talking about here? Well, that there was something in him that was painful and hard. And people have studied this, the other letters and looked at the traditions and think there's a couple of things that could be. It might have been that he had terrible eye problems. If you remember the story, that he was originally someone who was dedicated to persecuting the Christian church, and he was on his way to Damascus to arrest a bunch of more Christians, and Jesus appeared to him and he was struck blind. When Ananias was able, with the help of God at the direction of the Lord, to heal Saul, it says scales fell from his eyes. And people said, well, maybe that's a hint about what his problem was, that he was almost a blind man. And that would have been a great trouble for him and painful. Others have looked at it and studied it, and they said, no, it seems maybe that what his problem was is that he had epilepsy, that he suffered seizures, and that would be a real burden, a real problem for him in the work that he was doing, and he had this problem. But whatever it was, Paul was a man who knew what personal suffering was, both from the exterior coming to him and from his own body having this effect on him. He suffered. I thought, for those of us that are so afraid of COVID-19, and for those of us that have been diagnosed with it, say, well, Paul was a man like us. He had his struggle. Now, how do we handle that? What's the best way to navigate through the trouble that we're in, that have come at us? And what the scripture says is that the best thing, the most important thing we can do is to hold on to our faith. That faith will make us strong, that faith will be the gift of God to us so that we can indeed persevere. What are the things that we should believe? What is the content of our faith? And what I see in the passage that we read, that there are four things that we should hold on to. And I'd like to speak them, to identify them, so that you can think about it and work at developing that faith even within yourself. The first thing, it seems pretty obvious to say, but we need to hold on to this fact. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. That is not a fantasy, it's not a mere legend, but it is indeed the fact that has been delivered to the church, and that we as the saints of God have embraced and adopted. We believe in Jesus, and we believe that he has come. We believe that he died. We believe that he rose. We believe that he's coming again, and he's going to make all things new. That is what we believe. And I urge you, I call on you to hold on to that faith. Another thing that I see in this passage, which is really good for us to remember, is that we have been chosen by God and that we are precious to him. You are a person who was made in the image of God. You are a person that God has looked at directly and said, this one belongs to me. This is a person who I will embrace and I will love. You need to know, please understand, that you are not junk. That you're not a write-off. That you are a person deeply, wonderfully loved by God. That's important to know. And I pray that you will know that and that you will celebrate the grace of God in you. And I hope that you can see yourself the way that God sees you. Not as a broken person, not as a weak person, but as a loved person. Third thing that I see in this is that the Lord will grant to us everything that he wishes us to have. And he doesn't grant us everything. But what he does grant to us is faith and the power to endure. He grants to us lots of spiritual gifts. And everyone's spiritual gifts are different and distinct, and you need to know them so you can use them and apply them to build the kingdom of God. But the Lord is generous to you, and he makes you the fruitful person that you are or can be. So that's a wonderful thing to see and to hear, that we have been granted so many blessings and so many capacities. And if the Lord wants you to have it, you've got it. It's part of the good news. And the last thing that I wanted to make sure that you heard in this passage and that you can see, and this is really important, especially to those that are struggling. Whether it's you're struggling because of illness, if you're struggling because of depression, if you're struggling because of worry about the economy or your home or your family, know this. We will make it through every hardship. Now, the world can look at us and say, they're not going to make it. Some of us who believe, who get sick, will die. Some of us who have businesses, because of the economy, those businesses might fail. I am not saying to you that everything you want is going to happen, but what I'm saying to you is that every hardship that you go through will not be the end of you, and that somehow the Lord will carry you through it and there will be victory beyond it. The world might look at you, the society might look at you and say, there's a loser, there's somebody that didn't make it. But knowing who our God is and having the view of life that is more than just to the end of this day, but having a perspective that is eternal, we can say our God is going to carry us through. And because of that, we will be more than conquerors. It is the will of God for you that you conquer this affliction. It is God's will for you that you not be crushed by it. It is God's will for you that you not only survive, but you will thrive. The gospel is good news. It's good news for the world, and it's good news for you. I pray for you that you will be granted this gift of faith so that you can not only survive, but you can give glory to God. For he is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and the lover of you. Amen.